Chapter number 8, verse number 11, and verse number 12. Two verses today is all I want to read. Amos chapter 8, verse number 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. And they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Let's pray. Father, I pray for help today, for wisdom, for leadership, and I pray you'd help me to say what needs to be said, not say anything that don't need to be said, but may it fall on good ground as you prepare the hearts. I plead the blood, just asking that your will might be done. Cast aside every demon of hell that would hinder, and help us, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for our young people. Thank you for each person here today. I pray you'd bless them and do for all of us. That's what's needed. Oh, we need a visitation from on high. Remember those requests, Lord, that we've mentioned, voiced them out. And I know there's many unspoken requests that needs to be voiced to you. And you know all about them. And Lord, souls that's hanging in the balance need to be saved. So I plead the blood again, asking your will be done. Let us have liberty today. Help me have the recall I need and hide anything don't need to be brought forth. We'll thank you for it. We'll leave the outcome to you, and we'll praise you for what you do. Speak, Lord, speak. Just speak to some heart today. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amos is, we think about this subject. I'll give you the title in a moment, okay, but not right now. But in context, Amos is prophesying to Israel. Israel's the northern kingdom in this time. Now remember, you go back and study, after Solomon's day, Rehoboam was a king, but because of Solomon's sin, God rend 10 tribes from the 12, and they went north. Jeroboam wound up be king of the northern tribes, and Rehoboam the king of the southern two there at that time. And that came about, and what happened was that Rehoboam, when he went out, he built some idols, two golden calves. Probably got the idea from Aaron's calves that was built back when the children of Israel come out of Egypt. And same, at least it came from the same place, the same source, all idols do. But he built two golden calves, set one up in Bethel, one up in Dan, as the northern part of the 10 tribes, the area that they'd had the land. And so as a result, and the Bible says this, let me just read that in 1 Kings 12, 26 through 29. He said, and Jeroboam, this is Jeroboam, the king, now the northern kingdom, said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. In other words, house of David was at Jerusalem, is where God had chose to place his name there. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. So he set up these two golden calves as a substitute for Israel's worship, you see. He even had made a substitute feast on the same days as the fall feast, the same day as the feast in which they were to go to Jerusalem. In fact, you go back and study the Old Testament history. It was commanded for all the men over a certain age to go to Jerusalem three times a year to the feast days. He says this in Deuteronomy 16:16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. They're supposed to come three times a year. That's in the spring, the summer, and fall. Three times of the feast that they had to attend. And the thing about it, Rehoboam said, if they go back to those feasts like they're supposed to go, then he says their heart will be turned back to Rehoboam and they'll kill me. In other words, I won't be here. And really, as he said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. It's just too much, Jeroboam said, for you to go. You ought not to have to travel that distance. So I'll give you a substitute. I'll put one in the north in Dan, one in the south at Bethel, of our area, of the nation of Israel. And you can just come here. And really, it was idolatry. It wasn't, it had nothing to do with God. And so as a result, they did that. Now, all of the kings of Israel, from Jeroboam all the way down till they went into Assyrian captivity, if you look at them, they're all labeled with an E, evil. And I labeled them on my chart that way because they were all evil in the sense they didn't go with God. Jeroboam taught them to sin. They followed suit, got waxed worse and worse. And so therefore, the nation waxed worse and worse. And what happened, there come a time here that God sent Amos to prophesy in Israel, the northern kingdom. Amos was from the southern kingdom, but he was to prophesy. In fact, he really prophesied about all the nations around him. I can just hear the people of Israel saying every time he'd say something about one nation over here, nation over here, and nation here, and even Judah. He talked about Judah. Yeah, that's right. They need that. But then he said, what about you? And he prophesied basically to the Israel. That was what the rest of the message with Amos was about. And what we're dealing with here, he's talking to the nation of Israel specifically about that. And when he's doing all this prophesying here and got down to the nation of Israel, the priest said in Amos chapter 7, verse number 12 and 13, also Amaziah, who's a priest, said unto Amos, O thou seer, O thou prophet, go flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Leave us alone. Get out of here. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it's the king's chapel and it's the king's court. He was at Bethel prophesying there about what was going on. And what I read you, of course, the text about that. They said, go back home. We don't want to hear your prophecy. And as a result, don't rock the boat. But Amos continued the prophecy there at Bethel. And said what our text said. Basically, he said famine is going to come in this land. Not a famine of water and a lack of water and a famine of lack of food, but there will come a famine of hearing of the word of God. And by the way, every time a famine comes is used in the scripture, there's a time of testing to see what you're going to do when the famine comes. Now, he said there's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. There's two things involved in that or could be involved. And I believe both of them probably are to an extent. First of all, the word just wasn't preached in the land of Israel. And in other words, it's not there. A famine of the word. And hey, it's got an application for us today. Basically, the word of God is not preached as much in America even today as it used to be. And it's sure not practiced like it should be. So the practice wasn't there. He said there's going to be a famine of hearing the word because their preaching and the practice is not right in the land of Israel. Or the second thing that could apply means they just didn't have an ear to hear. Not a physical ear, but an ear of the heart to hear what the word of God said. A lot of people go to church, hear the truth, and maybe even in places the truth is practiced, and yet they don't hear. Because they don't have an ear to hear. Jesus said 8 times in the New Testament, basically 7 times in the book of Revelation to the 7 churches, and 1 time in Matthew 13:9, when he was talking, giving the parable of the seed or the sower or whatever there. He said this in Matthew 13:9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. People don't have ears to hear till God gives you an ear to hear. And that's part of the famine, in essence, is a famine of hearing the word of the Lord is what it amounts to. Now, and by the way, if you go study the history of Israel, the northern kingdom I'm talking about, there had been great prophets of God that preached you not too long before Amos's time. There was Elijah, for instance, and Elisha. They were two great prophets in the northern kingdom of Israel. And even in Elijah's day, Elijah, after he had great revival on Mount Carmel, and you'd think that that'd be enough to turn everything around, but this one woman, Ahab's wife Jezebel, got after him and said, I'll have his head, like he killed the prophets down of Baal down in the brook there that he put them in Kishon. And this is what he said when he got alone with God in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 14. He said, this is Elijah talking, a good man of God, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He got to the point that he thought he was the only one. Now, this is before Elisha had been called to go take his place, of course, later time. And so as a result, he said, I'm the only one. There's nobody else standing.
In essence, the people were having a famine of hearing the word because it wasn't, he didn't think there's anybody around. But Jesus, God said this in 1 Kings 19:18, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." There's 7,000. Now, God knew where they were at. Elijah didn't know where they're at because he thought he was the only one. But folks, God has always had a witness. And God always will have a witness. I don't care what time it is or when it is, even if it gets so bad in the end time. Lot are going to be killed, but he's still going to have a witness that's going to stand, if you please. Now, you notice the text here after he said there's a famine in the land, verse 11. Verse 12 said, "And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." Now, you see, they were wondering. They were looking. Some were looking, and yet they couldn't find the word. They said they were looking. You see, God puts an emptiness inside a person, a God-shaped vacuum that only God can fill, and people try to fill it with false religion or idols or sex or drugs or this thing or that thing. That doesn't satisfy. Nothing satisfies but God, because it's God-shaped. And therefore, they're wondering. These people were wondering. You're going to wonder. You're going to look around for it and can't find, because there's a famine of the hearing of the word of God. Now, you notice what the text says there in verse number 12. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I'll send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of God." Verse 12 then, "And they'll wander from sea to sea. From the north to the east they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." You notice it says they'll wander to the north. Now here they are in Bethel, and that's where the prophet Amos is at. And he said they'll wander up north where the other idol is, the golden calf, trying to find something to satisfy, and they'll not hear the word of the Lord because there's a famine of it. And he also mentioned the word east. You go east. Folks, in the east is all kind of pagan religions if they go east, as far as that's concerned. And so as a result, that you say, but west is not mentioned. Oh, it is in a way, because he said they'll go from sea to sea. You see, the Sea of Galilee is in the east. The Sea of Mediterranean Sea is in the west, as far as the nation of Israel is concerned. And they'll wander all over the land of Israel and won't find it. North, east, east, and west, in essence, and they won't find it. Now then, but you notice something here. He says, you'll seek, but you'll not find the word of the Lord because of the famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Now you notice south is not mentioned in any form, shape, or fashion. It's not mentioned that they'll go south, because they wouldn't go south. What's south? Jerusalem. That's where the temple is. That's where God's seat is. That's where God met. In other words, he said, never mention them going south, because they wouldn't go south. That was, that was the place to meet God, where truth was at. And during the days of Amos, which was Uzziah was the king, and the Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of God. 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 2 and 3, he said 16 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. So therefore he had done something right, at least in about this time, that they were able to worship in Jerusalem. Truth was being presented in Jerusalem, but they didn't go south. They didn't go where truth was at. They went north, they went east, they went west looking, but he said you won't find it because there's a famine of hearing the word. But he didn't mention the south. And I believe because there was truth in the south. But they didn't go. Now, why would they not seek in the south? Why would they not go in the south? Because of tradition. Because they'd been captured. The Bible said in Colossians 2:8, he warns us, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." He said, don't let the tradition capture your mind. Folks, those folks had been there in Jeroboam's day and the kings after him. They'd been there for about four generations when Amos comes on the scene and begins to preach to them. About 165 years they'd been there. All they had known was golden calf at Bethel, golden calf up at the Dan. That was what they were taught.
Mom and Daddy had said, son, this is what led, well, Jeroboam said, these are what led us out of Egypt. Well, Aaron had said that. Well, that wasn't so. God led them out. But that's all they had known was a tradition, and they followed that tradition, and they were so ingrained in that. They wanted something to fill the emptiness in that void, but they wouldn't go south. They wouldn't go to truth. It was off limits to them. And I know there's some, the Bible says, did go. And they found truth. And they stayed with God, even the northern kingdom. They probably moved down in Judah is what it really amounted to. But the thing about it, those in the north didn't, in the northern kingdom, couldn't find truth because there's a famine of the hearing of the word of God. Their minds were blocked. Their ears spiritually were blocked with tradition. And 165 years of four generations of worshiping the golden calf, that's basically all they knew. I remember one day a man talking to a man at the factory over in Huntington, Tennessee. And he was a black man, and he was talking to him about some truth that we'd been even proclaiming then as lost man. But still, this man made this statement. He said, I've been a Baptist for 35 years. He said, you can't be something for 35 years and be wrong. But you can, because you're so blinded and so deceived. And these people had been there 165 years, traditionalized in the golden calf. And that's all they were looking. They wanted something to feel that wasn't feeling, but they wouldn't go south to hear the truth at Jerusalem. They wouldn't go. They wouldn't go there. And even in Jeremiah's day, when it talked about in the southern kingdom, the Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Even in Judah, it got so bad that he said, you've got to go back to the old ways. Not the ways of golden calves, and of course that's in the south, but still you've got to go back to truth. Get back to the basics of the truth. And they said, we will not walk therein. We don't want to order our lives in. We like the way we're doing. We're doing what we want to do. We're going to get by with it. Well, they may get by with it for a while, but there's still hell awaits them, you see. And that's the way with today. People don't want the truth. And when truth comes along, searching, and real truth begins to be practiced, and real truth begins to be preached, what do they cry out? New doctrine. That's something new. That preacher's leading you down a new path. Hey, it's the old paths that they just don't want to go to because tradition has locked them out. It's locked them out. See, the truth was in the old paths, yet they said, we will not walk therein. There was a famine of the hearing of the word of God. Now, what do I need to do when a famine of hearing is recognized in my life? What do I need to do, whether at New Hope Baptist Church, whether on the web, or whether on CDs, wherever these might go? And this is, like I said, involves more than just us who are here today, as God's showed, pointed this out to me. What do I need to do when famine of hearing is recognized in my life? Now, the title of the message, okay? Must I relocate to be saved? Must I relocate to be saved? Because you see, we're hearing a lot talking about, I need to move here, and I need to move there, and I need to go here. And some are saying you need to be here and you need to be there. Must I relocate to be saved? Well, I want to tell you what. First of all, you need to find out the will of God for your life. You've got to find the divine will of God for your life. There are some that will tell you you've got to move, that you're never going to get help here or anywhere in some other places. But I won't tell you what, there's some lying to you as well, okay? You see, when they'll tell you need to move where truth is preached or practiced. And that may be the case in some incidences and not in others. Now, what do you mean, preacher? Well, for example, Abraham got in trouble when a famine come in his land. I know it wasn't a famine of hearing the word, but it was a famine of testing time. He relocated to Egypt, got in trouble. And got Hagar, his wife got Hagar, and we're still in trouble from that today because he didn't stay put in Canaan's land. God said to stay in Canaan's land, but he went off down there. In other words, testing time come, and he didn't stay where God wanted him to stay. Now, Ruth, or Naomi in the book of Ruth, I don't know whether it's her or her husband, said, let's go to Moab because it's food there, Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. There's a famine. Testing time came. They sold their property in essence, whatever they could get out of it, and run out of everything, and said, we've got to go.
And we're empty. We don't have anything. We don't have anything. They carried two sons and a husband with her when she left the land of Bethlehem, went to land of Moab, only 40 miles away. It's not far. You actually could see it on a good day from the hillside of Bethlehem, had wheat on the hills. And so they went to Moab. When they got down there, what happened, of course, Elimelech, is that the man's name? He died, and then her two sons died after they got married. But here they are married, and she stayed 10 years in Moab. Now, I'm sure the house of bread had been visited with bread before the 10 years is up, but they stayed there, relocated in a place because testing time come in Bethlehem. And what happened when they did finally come back, said, God has visited us with bread. They came back, and they called her Naomi, which means pleasant. And she said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, because I'm bitter. I'm bitter. I went out full, but I came back empty. She thought she was empty when she left, but she had a husband, had two sons. And now she comes back with none of those. It cost her so much because they failed God's test. You see, I know that's not dealing with salvation. I understand that, Abraham and that, but it's talking about a principle. And the Bible said, Romans 15:4, he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scripture might have hope. We can draw a doctrine from that, if you please. And so I know it's not dealing with that. But now, when you think about must I relocate to be saved, then let's stop and think. Cornelius didn't have to relocate. He didn't have to relocate. He had a responsibility at Caesarea. He was over 100 men, and as far as the army was concerned, he was a Gentile. And we just preached about him, had two strikes against him, being a Gentile, and without God, without hope, dead in trespasses and sin. And yet, he didn't have to move. What happened was, God, because he did what was right where he was at, and doing what he was right where he was at, God sent him an angel messenger to send for Peter to come. And the human instrument came, brought him words whereby he might be saved, and he was saved. You see, the Cornelius didn't have to relocate. And the eunuch didn't have to relocate. He was looking, searching. He was trying to go. He went to Jerusalem to try to find something, but there wasn't nothing there. I mean, that day, actually, the veil had already been rent, and he was still trying to find something to satisfy, but he found on the way back that God sent Philip to him, and out in that desert, in Gaza desert there, he heard the truths about Jesus, and he was saved. And where did he go? Back home to his people. Back home to his people, where that later on, they say that there actually was a Baptist church established there later years as a result of that eunuch in that time. That's what tradition says. I don't know whether that's so or not. But you think about it. Whenever people talk about coming to New Hope, moving and relocating to New Hope to try to get with God, it scares me to death. Amen? You may not think it does, but it does. It scares me. I don't believe I ever told y'all, you must come to New Hope. I said, do what God tells you to do. Am I right? And same thing with the other who relocated. I have never told you to do. I will not be caught by the grace of God telling anybody, this is where you need to be. You've got to find God's will for your life. You're responsible for your life, what you need as far as the truth is concerned. You see, it scares me when they say move you. Now the question comes, why are you coming? Why are you coming? Now the question is, what do we have? What do we have? You say, oh, we got the truth. Well, but you realize something. We still don't have a great move of God. What do we have? How long will I get to go on physically ministering in this place? I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm just saying, whenever you think about, and this is for CDs and overseas or any other place, where what you better find God's will for your life. Because I don't care where it's at. Don't listen to me or any other preacher that tell you, you must be here. That's not right. You need to do what God tells you to do. Amen? You've got to do what God tells you to do, see. And if something happened to me, let me ask you a question. Who would you get for a pastor? You say, I don't know where they're any at. But who, what kind of a pastor would you get? You see,
I've seen some other churches who said, well, we'll stand for truth and we'll do what's right. And then whenever somebody moves off, let me ask you another question. Would you settle for someone who wouldn't preach and practice truth? You say, oh, no, you might say that now, but I won't tell you what. I'm afraid you would. Because some of you are tired of the manna. Some of you are tired of the manna. Amen. Some of you are tired of truth. Look at me like a calf hunting a new game. Some of you are tired of truth. And if the office, see, it's happened in other churches that stood for truth for years and years, and yet whenever a new regime come in, I don't want to call no names because they don't want it to get back going out, but they come up with somebody who practices easy believism and carries them in a different direction totally from what God wanted them to go in. Famine of hearing the word. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. Folks, we're in a mess across this. What do I need to do? Must I relocate to be saved? You better find the mind of God. You see, you need you, and you say, but you find, must I relocate to be saved? If you're thinking, and I'm talking about the CDs that's going out on this. It's not just for us, but it's for those in other places, wherever they might be. You had better try the spirits that's telling you what to do. You better know for certainty. I want to tell you, the devil left to get you out on a limb and saw off the limb for you. I've shared some of this with you in the past individually about you better be careful what you do, because you realize something, you know, you better know it's God's will, but because you know something, the culture is different just a few miles away. I don't care where it's at. The culture's different in different parts. I'm talking about our country. Even our United States, the culture is different. Amen. The culture is different. The work ethic is different in different places of the country. Amen. And you realize something, the economy is different. And you just up and say, well, I'm going to move and I'm going to do that. You better find God's will, because you get out on a limb and the devil will saw it off. You better, somebody say, well, I'm 99% sure I need to relocate. I will tell you, that's not enough. You need to be 110% sure. You need to relocate before you move. Amen. You need to do that, or you'll get in trouble and you'll be like Naomi. You'll lose everything you have. And you see, you went out thinking you don't have any, and you had more than what you thought in that sense, because you just may not be accepted in other areas. I won't tell you. You get in certain areas, it's hard to accept people who move in. I don't know that I'm accepted yet in Marshall County after 24 years. You understand what I'm saying? It takes time, does it not? There, it takes time to be accepted in a lot of places, and it's different. You take those in, I'll just use Louisiana. I mean, those Cajuns down there sure do act different than what you do here in Kentucky. Amen. And that's not against them. That's their style, you see. And it's the same way in other parts of the country, and the same way in other cultures as far as other countries are concerned. You see, in other words, is thinking about it, you see. As I've been thinking about this subject, I realized something. God showed me something as I was thinking about it and dreamed about it. I was awake and asleep, and I don't know, but it came. I didn't have to relocate. Amen? I didn't have to relocate. I grew up in a church that didn't have a whole lot. I mean, they thought they had a lot, I guess, and I know they had some truth as far as what was said, but there was a famine of hearing the word, mainly because I didn't have an ear to hear. And it wasn't powerful enough to quicken my ear to where I could hear. But you know, something happened. I can't explain what happened. Light came. And some way, somehow, I went south. Now, I'm not saying you got to go south, but you understand. There's where truth was at in Myrtle, Mississippi. Power was there. We got down there and got under the power of God, and God stirred the gift to preach in me that God had placed there. And I don't understand that, but he did that. I went south and where the power of God was, and the Lord, in other words, knit my heart with a human instrument, which came to our back, and started pastoring a church, and that human instrument came and preached. You know what? He came and he preached. You know what? He came and he preached. You know what? He came and he preached. Are you listening? But he preached, and finally God began to prick my ear, to give me an ear to hear. He told me some of the things I said when he first came, but he loved me where I was at and stayed with me, you see. And the thing about it, and that's little by little I begin to hear. And that's why we try to bring in those who preach and practice the truth.
And you know, when they come in, they're fresh. They're fresh. They're different in that sense. And if you're not careful, you get caught up. But if you had them every day, you'd get tired of the manna. Just like you're tired of the manna. Amen? You say, I'm not tired. Oh, yeah, we are. I get tired of it myself. Amen? I'm trying to help us today. Amen? Trying to help some that's out there. They don't need to do anything. You don't need to do anything till you know what God's will is and you're assured of what God's will. You see, you come in sometime, and we've had them do that, come in during our missions conference and things is pretty high. And then after the missions conference, things get pretty low sometimes, don't they? A meeting, emotion, it goes down low. That's the way it was at Myrtle, Mississippi. People say, well, I won't be at Myrtle, Mississippi. Down there where this high. What they saw was the highlight. Man, I want to tell you what, it's like you couldn't get a holy grunt out of some of them after the missions conference was over, you see? Because it's just that way. It's just that you don't need to go somewhere to check it out during just the high part. You need to go and check it out in the low part and stay for some time. Find out what God wants you to do in that sense, you see? He just may want to save you where you are so that you can start something there. Like God, I didn't have to relocate, amen? Now the man we call Legion wanted to leave after he was saved, did he not? Jesus met him on his own ground, in his own territory, and he was saved. And I understand him wanting to go somewhere else. He said, Jesus, I want to go with you. I can understand that because of the shame that he had to face, going and face people where he'd walked around naked, run around and like a wild man. And you know, that's him. And it would have been a whole lot easier to have gone somewhere else to start over again, wouldn't it? And God said, the Lord said to him, go home to thy people and tell them what great things thou hast done, that I have done for thee. In other words, be a witness right where you're at, he said. I've saved you to be a witness here and to start something here. I want to tell you, I understand that completely. In other words, because you it would have been easier for him to go somewhere else where no one knew him. There's a time in my life, there's three preachers, and I'll not call their names, in three different states and three different churches that said, you're supposed to be here. They got dogmatic about it. You're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be here. You're supposed to be here. And I tell you what, I had a battle over it. I had to. I won't go into all the details of how God settled, but you know, well, I will just a little bit. God, I got off Myrtle, Mississippi one time, and I had kind of a I don't know what it was, just a premonition, I guess you could say. I need to build a printing ministry over here, right over here, just a few miles over here. Need to build that. Well, you know something? I come home, and guess what? Basically, my wife said, you know, I've had the same basic feeling to a degree. That was on Friday I got back home. I got the Sunday paper, a commercial appeal out of Memphis, Tennessee, and picked up the commercial appeal looking for farm sales. You know, I was in business then. And there, and lo and behold, was a print shop for sale in Mayfield, Kentucky, about 8 miles from where I lived at the time. And I went the next morning. I said, I'll be late for work this morning, and bought the print shop the next morning. That's how quick it moved. And you know something? I lost money in the printing business. I spent a lot of money, but you know what? It kept me stationed here in this area. Because when New Hope Baptist Church called, I was ready to come. God put me, and yet that preacher and that preacher and that preacher said, you need to be here. I'm talking about the west and south and east and north. They were, you got to be here. You got to be here. I said, I ain't going nowhere till I know something. And I'm glad that I didn't get caught up in that. Amen. I'm sure glad I didn't get caught up in that. Must I relocate to be saved? Find the will of God. That's what matters more. God may just want to choose you to stay in that country or in that city, in that state, and save you, let you come and make a few trips, like three trips to Jerusalem a year they had to make, where truth was, get hold of it, carry it back home, and see something get started where you're at. I'm just saying, I'm not saying these are wrong for being here. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to let us know that it scares me whenever somebody says, we're going to just move, you know. We're going to move. Oh, you get on a limb.
it'll get sawed off. You hurt your family, you hurt yourself, you hurt everything about you. And the devil will try to discount the cause of Christ because of it. Amen. Can't happen that way. You realize something. So what I'm saying is, I'm glad I didn't relocate. Because if I had been, I'd have been in a bigger mess than I was in. Amen. The Lord kept me in this basic area, I guess, to put me here at New Hope, right in the midst of all the brethren that I knew before. And it would have been easier to have gone to Montana to start a workout there where nobody knew me. They wouldn't have to deal with all that. Start afresh. In fact, I thought that'd be a good place to go. Get away from everybody. But it wasn't, you see. And by the way, during that time when I was trying to decide where to go, I knew I was going somewhere, but I didn't know where. I thought, well, I'll be an evangelist. You know, boy, I'd have starved, wouldn't I? Amen. But the thing about it, I surrendered to be evangelist, and God didn't say nothing. And then I surrendered to pastor a little church and be an evangelist on the side, and God still didn't say nothing. And then one day I said, God, whatever. I remember where I was standing, walking out to the print shop. I mean, dry, nothing. I said, God, whatever. And you know, it wasn't but just a few days that I got a call about coming to New Hope Baptist Church as far as that first visit that we came. That's been 24 years ago, I guess it is. November is when I came the first time. And if I'd listened to those people who had the mind of God for me, I'd have been in a bigger mess than ever. Folks, I hope and pray I never, I tried not to convince you, did I not? I said, you've got to do what God, I'll be willing to help, I'll stay with you, I'll do what's necessary. And listen, if you move to an area, you're going to have help. What would y'all have done if you'd came over here from overseas and had nothing, no help? And I'm not bragging on us, amen. But what would you have done? It would have been tough, wouldn't it? You'd been ready to go on back in just a few days. But they had a house to move in the first night they came. Amen. And that's not me. But I asked them what they wanted, and I had two picked out, and I figured this is the one they want. What I'm saying, if God's in it, it's okay. I'll do whatever's necessary for anybody who feels God wants them to come. I'll stay with them. I'll go the extra mile with them. But if God is not in it, don't relocate. You amen that? You amen that? God's got to be in it. God's got to be in it. Must I relocate to be saved? Only if it's God's divine will. Otherwise, be still and ask God to give you an ear to hear, and the Lord will visit you in His time with His salvation. Where you're at, whatever God's will is. And I'll be with you if you need to relocate. If you don't need to relocate, I'll still love you and send everything I can to you to get the gospel to you, and try to provide atmosphere, hopefully, that God will move in and visit us in our missions conference and meetings throughout the year when we see freshness and God moving, and where you can come and visit and go back and establish something where you're at, if that's where you need to be. You agree with that? Brother Doug, you agree with that? May God, you say, I hadn't had that problem. I hadn't had to. That's good. But I want to tell you what, there's a lot of voices out there that lead you astray, and you better find God's voice. You do that, we'll get along. Amen. It'll all be all right. Father, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for letting me. I pray, hopefully, got off my heart what we've been on it for some time. And I pray it's not hurt anybody, but helps every one of us, even those that'll hear it on the CD or on the website. So I pray you just speak to hearts and work a work. Lord, we're not the Messiah. We're not the God trying to tell people what to do and what not to do in those areas. Now, if it says something in the Bible, we can say that's what the Bible says, but it doesn't say where you're to be. It says serve Him, but it doesn't say where. And you may have to relocate, and you may not have to relocate. May they find God's will and do it. And when they do that, it'll be okay. And we'll stay with them, we'll love them, and we'll continue. And together, we'll see God do something in the days to come. And we'll praise you for all you do and thank you for it. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. For His sake we do pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, altars open this morning. Will you mind the Lord as you play? Will you just obey the Lord this morning?
The
Thou art the potter, I'm the clay. Mold me and make me, direct me. Help me to know. Amen. Thank the Lord. If you got something on your heart you need to share that'll help somebody else at this time, something that you feel that God needs you to share, anyone. All minds clear? Find the will of God for your life, and it'll be okay. Wherever, however, may God help us. All minds clear? If so, let's stand.